Hello. Okay. Welcome to Dr. Fred Bell's Health Science and Energy Show. Saturday night show again. Late night show. What do you know? Not always can. It's live. It's live right now. We're here happening. Anyhow, we had a great show last night. Friday night on my 6 o'clock show, which is always with a guest, with Steve Barish. We had a lady try on her projector for the first time. And it was on worldwide tryout, you might say. That was kind of neat. She really liked it. And everybody got to experience what this lady from Ohio got to experience after wearing a receptor for 4 months. And she's definitely reported a different feeling. Next week, we're going to have Chester Beck on. He's a caver. You're going to go into these caves, and we're talking about outlaws and Indians and environment and water supply and all kinds of stuff, really interesting stuff. Coming to be on next week, and tonight we're going to go visit my old show with Lee Duncan. We're going to talk about propulsion systems the first half, and then we're going to, on the second half, we're going to go to a New Life Expo show, which was done back a long time ago, like I'm going to be doing this month or in October, which is another month, is another day away, 2 days away. So anyhow, a lot of good things are happening. Those of you who want to check our website out that are new, we're getting a lot of new listeners now. It's www.paradyne, that's spelled P-Y-R-A-D-Y-N-E. And if you can't find that and can't remember that or get the spelling right, just look up Dr. Fred Bell in the search engine, and it shows you the different websites that we're available at. Aha. So anyway, let's see if Dr. Bell is ready to come on now.
Ender of the Moody Blue Turn went over to Hawaii. He did a very good duplication on one of his albums.
Dr. Bell, you're there.
Every good boy deserves a favor. He did his synthesizer version of it, which was sort of in, you got the feeling, but if you looked it up to one of the sound analysts, you wouldn't have heard all of that. Like it was there. But at that time, considering where the sound equipment was, Mike, I considered to be a really good keyboard player and a person that could resynthesize to a musical tone the sounds of a ship. So he was probably one of the few people that I've ever heard make a somewhat representation of the actual sound of one of these things. And I think on their album that was preceding that, he also made that sound. I forget the name of the album now.
Now, how did you get that recording?
This one came when Billy Myers and I were working together through Colonel Stevens. I asked Colonel Stevens, because this is the time that Tomiyasu told me I needed to get the recording, because I was working on the time machine, to get a feeling for, more of the propulsion system. So I made a trip out to Arizona, explained to Colonel Stevens that what I needed it for, and he felt that I had a right to need to know it, and so then he gave it to me. Now, on that recording, it's not only the sound of Kumyasi ship, but there's also the sound of those Reticulan ships on it also, in another point. But that's how I got it, basically. The Reticulans, by the way, were the ones that were in the Betty and Barney Hill case. And I have an actual soundtrack of the ship that took Betty and Barney Hill.
Zeta 1 and Zeta 2 Reticulae.
Yeah, Beta 2, Beta 1, right. Very keen light years. And so, anyway, so anyhow, that's how I got it, and we used it here for some sound analysis also, because we have the same equipment. Because when I got into that time machine that I built a few years ago, Zimiyasi was explaining how they use time in relationship to space, and so she says you must work with time before you work with space, because if you got lost in space and time, you'd have a tremendous, problem finding yourself or finding your way back. Getting back to the subject of the propulsion systems, these low frequencies that you hear can be duplicated on this planet, which I think the first systems will have, by fluids. They have two big rings of fluids, magnetic fluids, held in suspension. And these fluids are pumped in two different directions. Alan Holt has designed the system. Alan Pold is like, I like to call him the new Wernher von Braun of space. And he's working at NASA right now. He's in charge of the propulsion systems over there, primarily with Skylab and some of these projects where the spacecraft are going up and re-entering again. And Alan wrote a report on it. It was sponsored by the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics and Society, and the Society of Automotive Engineers, the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, which is ASME, SAE, and AIAA, respectively. And the AIAA number was AIAA-80-1233, which is prospects for a breakthrough in field-dependent propulsion. And this was presented at a joint propulsion conference on July 30th and June 2nd, 1980, in Hartford, Connecticut. And those of you would want to get a copy of this propulsion system, they could write the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics, 1290 Avenue of the Americas, New York, New York, 10019. This is a crude outline of a system similar to what is used in the Pleiadian ships. There are some drawings in it. It explains a little bit about how time works, the plasmas that are used. But primarily what they're doing is they're using in this system a superconducting magnet. And you just have to imagine that you had 12 lasers in the center of a circle, each one pointing a beam out to an outer rim. And so it would be like a wagon wheel. So instead of the spoke in the wagon wheel, there'd be 12 spokes in this wagon wheel, and each one is a laser beam. And then around each spoke is a superconducting magnet. And they're all the way around, and the spokes themselves are hydromagnetic electron wave generators. And the outer structure is the ring, and it has two fluids in it, one going in one direction, one going in the other direction. So it's like this particular wheel is like the dual wheels on a truck. That in each wheel on the truck, for example, one of them is going to have a fluid in it that will go clockwise, and one of them will have a fluid in it that will go counterclockwise. And what happens is these fluids have magnetic properties suspended in them, and they begin to rotate in opposite directions by special pumps at a high rate of speed, which first of all gives them a gyroscopic effect, so it acts like a gyro on the surface of the ship, and obviously the ship is going to be a disc. And then what happens is when the lasers come on, the plasma of the lasers is pinched down and sent out and superconducting, you know, through the superconducting magnets. And so this plasma is sent out and magnetically energizes the fluids in the outer rim, which are traveling at a fairly good rate of speed. Then what happens is these superconducting magnets begin to produce cyclic waves in the outer perimeter of the two disks. And so these cyclic waves begin to go in the clockwise and counterclockwise direction. They call them traveling waves. So you can imagine the third traveling clockwise wave going around inside these two different tires in the opposite direction. And these high fields begin to warp. They will actually begin to warp the gravity around them and the space around them, and they begin to create gravity-like waves that are different than those on the Earth. And pretty soon the craft does not see the Earth anymore and begins to lift itself off. So we have in our country today the basic idea of the technology. The way the Pleiadians do it is not that way, but it's far more sophisticated. But that was a way that we could do it. And then the next thing that happens is you get a tremendous difference of charge, because if you've got two magnetic fluids going in opposite directions, you have what I would call a hydrodynamic Wimhurst machine. You're probably familiar with the Wimhurst wheel, right?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
The Wimhurst wheel, remember back in college or high school, you had looked like two records that would sit opposite one another up on a stand and crank it? And one record would go one way and one record would go the other, and you'd have next to these two records, you'd have a big circular chamber. I mean, like a film canister sitting there, and then you'd have two balls coming up, and you get this big spark every once in a while. And it's an electrostatic generator that creates high voltage electricity by two surfaces moving in opposite directions with respect to one another. So you get a positive charge on one side and a negative charge on the other. Well, this is called a Wimhurst machine. The more sophisticated version of it was called a Van de Graaff generator, which I know, I'm sure you've seen those.
Yes, yes, I have.
That consists of a stand. Imagine a stand about the size of a cigar box, about a 5-foot-long plastic tube going up from the top of the cigar box with a big circular metal ball on the top.
That'll make your hair stand on end.
Right, yeah, and then you stand on the glass plate, put your hand on the ball, and your hair stands straight up. They used to have those in circuses back years ago. And women with long hair, they go straight up. You know, a woman with 3-foot-long hair is 3 foot straight up over her head. Well, that's the way the propulsion system works as far as the lateral movement in the air. It puts a high-powered charge on the ship, a negative charge on one, and a positive charge on the bottom side of the ship. So it, on one side, it's exactly like an electrostatic airfoil. It repels, it pushes away from air underneath it, and it attracts air molecules above it. And the faster that it moves through the air, the higher does the friction occur naturally. So it puts a negative ion charge on the air. It actually heals the atmosphere. It's a simple propulsion system, that aspect of it, and it will move the craft at a high rate of speed. I mean, this is an absolutely incredible thing, and that's why you see these different colors, because it's the ionization that these things produce in the aurora borealis that I saw that time in that contact as the thing moves across space. And with the Pleiadian technology, for example, involving faster than light travel, you know, like when Sannyasi took Billy Meyer up and showed her, him rather, the paradoxical type of life forms, meaning the old dinosaurs that would fly that existed back on the Earth some millions of years ago, it is almost as common to travel in time as it is to travel on our freeways for them.
Science fiction writers were writing about nuclear-powered generators before there were rocket ships to the moon, hyperdrive. I mean, science fiction definitely leads to reality.
That's right. We create our own realities. All you have to do is try and believe. And if you believe, then you receive. You know, that's one of my favorite axioms. And it's true. That's exactly the way the universe works right now. And when I got in contact and became a contactee, the people taught me, one of the things that I had the hardest time developing, and Sannyasi used to constantly, if you would use the term, bust me for, was the fact that I would always try to imagine more out of our conversations than what she was trying to teach me than was actually there. And she used to constantly insist that if I would just stop using my imagination at that moment and just feel the truth of our communication, that I would get greater rewards than beyond my imagination. So she began to teach me by centering on truth how to actually exceed the expectations of imagination. And that's the only way that I've been able to take what I would call, in the very beginning, a series of abstract demonstrations in a few witnesses and expound it into a science, which I feel that I've been successful in today, because now the things that I've been able to do in science, other New Age people are doing. Not just a few hundred, but literally thousands of New Age people are using, like these chapters on Corellian photography are now monumental, and I've seen them in other books even that have been written in the New Age. And one lady up in Canada from this book started one of the largest practices of Corellian photography up there. She has a lot of world famous scientists come into this huge clinic. It all started from in 1979 when she read I think page 152 to about 170 in my book, Death of Ignorance, which to me was great because, you know, it was just science that had been given to me that other people, it already had the ingredients. It's like, you know, you can bake a cake, but you need the recipe. You got everything on the shelf. Well, the recipe was there. I mean, the ingredients was there. So that she had to have this book. And when this book was done, then this whole huge practice, and this largest clinic up in Canada today as a result of that. And it's only 5 years ago when she started. So this is the... what the Pleiadians were trying to do with me, and they were trying to do it with Billy Myers, and it can be discouraging because maybe out of 50 people that you embrace with this consciousness and this knowledge, 20 of them will condemn you for it, another 10 are probably disinterested, another 7 or 8 aren't capable of handling it, and maybe 1 out of 50 totally gets into it. But that one reward is merit enough for the entire study or dedication of this asset, you know, this fact.
Dr. Bell, unfortunately, we are out of time. It always goes so quickly when we're talking.
Yeah.
If you would like more information about Dr. Bell or his products, please contact Pegasus Tapes at area code 818-896-1621 or write to 9320 Roslindale Avenue, Roslindale Avenue, Arleta, California, 91331. Thank you.
Well, now we'll go into the second tape. That one ended pretty quickly. Hopefully we don't have too much of a blank spot. And now we will go into tape number two. And this will be the New York New Life Expo. And this is what we're going to be doing again here rather soon. So anyway, here's the next one.
How's everybody doing today? It's a big group we got here in Florida. Everybody in Florida stay home like when we have a convention down here or something? I got it started now. Is that what you wanted? I got the levels set up and everything. Okay.
We had to set our own levels.
So I'm going to talk today. I don't have a blackboard, so I'll go in my workshop. I'll get into this, and I'll show you some slides of some things that I've done and things that are going on. But what I'm going to talk about today a little bit here at the lecture part of it is the environment and the effect that it's having on our lives. Now, are you guys all local from around here in Florida? I don't know how much what the consciousness of this community is all about, but I would say it's like most places, they're pretty not tuned in at all to hardly anything that goes on. But one of the, you know, how many of you are familiar with ELF, extremely low frequency? If you're not familiar with ELF, it's one of the big dangers that has been going on since World War II on a societal level, extremely low frequency. Your body has a certain set of frequencies that fall between DC, direct current, and about 18 cycles per second, or 18 hertz. And, for example, circulation is 3.2 hertz. The heartbeat is about 8.2. So different functions in the body. Muscle function is around 18 cycles per second. So these different functions in the body become very necessary to make your body properly vitalized. And if your body is not properly vitalized, then what happens is your DNA, which is the basically the brain of your entire body, of each cell starts to decay and you lose your consciousness. And governments for a long time have known that, so they have deliberately, through the water tables around the world, released extremely low frequency, ELF, into the environment. It comes up, if you have a look at a wall plug, you'll see the third little wire here, the little round circle there. That's where it comes in. The generator for ELF for the United States is located in Sydney, Australia. And the one that they use in Russia is located in Siberia. I forget what city it's in. And one of the newest projects, see, when I worked in the Air Force, one of the big things I worked on was the high voltage radar, the big early warning search radars, which they don't use too much today, because in place today we have all of these different satellites, which do a much more comprehensible job. But one of the things they came along with recently is called the HARP Project. How many of you are familiar with the HARP Project? Okay, a couple. How many of you have seen Steven Seagal's Under Siege 2 movie? Okay, if you see that, you can see a comic book description of what the HARP Project is all about, wherein they can, from space, utilize a satellite as a directional beam to zap individuals on Earth. And the way the real HARP Project works is they have these 1.5 trillion watt microwave sources located through a huge antenna with antenna farms, I call them, up in Alaska, Arecibo, Puerto Rico, and different countries. And what they do is they generate a very heavy-duty, high-voltage beam, and they shoot it up into the atmosphere out where the ozone layer is and the ionosphere come together. It's about 400 miles out. Now, this particular area in space likes to see a temperature of about 400 degrees below zero. But what they do is they heat it up to about 200 or 300 degrees above zero, which is a really bad thing to do in the wrong place in space and time. What happens when you heat this area up, this layer of the Earth's atmosphere up, which is a very thin layer with radiation, it creates what's called a virtual lens. So what they do is this area where if you send a radio frequency that normally would go into space, they create a big lens. And so once this virtual lens is in place, then they take another beam and they shoot the beam up from the Earth. It hits the lens and comes back down to some other part on the Earth. And then when it strikes that part on the Earth, it releases huge amounts of radiation, which are then tracked back up on satellites like the Clementine and different satellites that the Pentagon launches. Now, if you could take 1 watt of power and start a fire at 1 mile, like if you took a 1 watt laser on a dry day and shot it a mile away into something, it could start a fire. You can imagine what 1.7 trillion watts could do to anyone. The Air Force impact report says, well, it will, if you had a car in the area where this beam was coming down, it would set flares off in the trunk. Naturally, humans would be destroyed. And, of course, it's a giant X-ray machine. And these kind of systems are going into place now. So on top of all the radiation things, they also modulate extremely low frequencies beams, which affects your consciousness. And as a result, DNA. And what it does is it can make you quite angry, and it can cause cancer in many, many different forms in the body. This is just one of many programs that's happening. Another problem with radiation is you've heard of the ozone layer being depleted, right, producing ultraviolet, allowing ultraviolet rays to get here. Well, what they don't tell you, they did mention in the Global 2000 report, but what they don't tell you is that the ozone layer is being destroyed not by chloroform and chlorocarbons, rather, or, you know, paint, you know, the things inside of paint and spray cans, but it's being destroyed by high-flying jet aircraft exhausts, and there's like 3,000 planes flying up there any point in time with temperatures coming off the back of the engines of thousands of degrees. So all of these things that are going on basically attack only one area in man, and that area in man is known as the immune system. And most people don't realize it, but the consciousness, your consciousness, comes from your immune system. And so as a result of that, it becomes very necessary to deal with your immune system. How many of you notice when you start to get sick or are sick that you're not creative anymore? I mean, you can barely, sometimes you get really sick, you don't even want to wake up, you don't even want to open your eyes and look out. I mean, it can get pretty bad in that mode. So this is what happens. But what happens is today is our society is getting the immune system attacked by the environment purposely in such a way that the entire world's immune system is under attack. Now, the Greys, I'm sure you're familiar with, they're extraterrestrials known as the Greys, have been coming here for a long time. They've been working with our government since about 1954. I'm sure most of you have heard of the, you know, cattle mutilations where they find, you know, cattle with organs removed, no blood inside the cow left, no blood on the ground, no tracks coming or going. Obviously, they've been abducted and surgically things have been removed, and then they put the carcasses back down on the ground. And they can do this quite rapidly. Well, this was a gathering of organs that was taking place. They needed these vital organs to do more research and to create certain things that they use in their administration of what Greys do in our society. Greys have been around here for a long time, and it's amazing that there's not been more exposure to the general public. But their work has come out and been demonstrated in our society for a number of years, the research that came from what they do. When they bring these organs and all these things up, they take these things and they go into areas, laboratories where they work. One laboratory is located in Tonopah, Nevada, which is known as Area 51. And another one is located in Dulce, New Mexico, under a mesa known as Archuleta Mesa. There's a big building underneath there where these Greys live. I've had the opportunity to go out with video crews and film both these groups in action you know, there's ships coming and going and these kind of things, with a whole myriad of television specials that I've been involved in. As a matter of fact, I don't know, do you guys watch Strange Universe? It's on now. It's on 11 o'clock on California time. I don't know what time it's on Florida. Yeah, on December 2nd, there was a segment on us. We were on there. This is about a week ago, which was nationwide. The bottom line is, with all this going on, we have, for a number of years, begun to formulate vitamins to make products that are like these electrical precursoring device products. And pyramids, of course, have had since the 70s, and bring these out to the world. And now these kinds of things are getting more and more beneficial, and people are starting to really realize why we started creating these things years and years ago. And one of the area that we started to teach with, and it's kind of awkward, we don't have a blackboard to work with, but we got to just imagine this, that we have three levels on the physical plane that we work with this cell, within the domain of the cell in. Okay? And of course, the body reproduces cells at the rate of 90 million per second, or 60 million, 50 million per second, and it reproduces entire organs, you know, over a period of 3 months. So a small change on the cellular level is a big change in consciousness. And we have the physical plane where we are here. We consider hard science, the physical science, of the science of biochemistry. So we approach our technology changes with formulations, nutritional formulations, mineral formulations. Then there's a level above that, also located in the physical world, which is called the science of electricity. And electricity, the way the electricity behaves is how the physical plane is going to behave, how the biochemistry is going to behave. And then we have another area that precedes that, and that's called the science of electrical precursation, the electrical precursors. And these are the intelligence, this is the brain, this is the mind power that tells the electricity how to behave, which then tells the biochemistry how to behave. So you have to work very coherently and explicitly with the science of electrical precursation. So what we do is we imagine a clock. We imagine a clock, and that clock has a 24-hour dial on it. And you have, in that 24-hour, you have inputs. You either have negative input, which is destructive to the body, or you have positive input, which is beneficial to the body. So we call these negative EPCs and positive EPCs. And so what I'll do now is I'll ask some of you in the audience, what would you imagine in your life in a 24-hour period to be negatively, you know, affecting your health, your nutrition, your consciousness? Any ideas? What would you consider negative EPCs? Yeah, go ahead.
Stress.
Okay, now that's two types. You've named two EPCs. Stress, meaning stress like at a job. Okay? Now, stress, when you boil it down on EPC level, you've got an aura that's charged up in your body that's towards being beneficial to mankind, or an aura that's charged up that's greedy, selfish, bossy, telling employees to get the job done so I can personally benefit, that type of energy. So it's a negative stress that you get from people, okay? That's one. Now, when you talk about noise, that's the second form of stress. Airport noise, sirens, ambulances, okay? As a matter of fact, we got into music because of what the Pleiadians educated us in with sound pollution. I'm in my fifth album or sixth album now of music that we produced because of negative sound precursing energies. The cell listens. Each cell in your body has ears. And if you go down to the seashore and get some positive waves and some positive EPCs, the sound body and the whole consciousness of the body behaves one way, whereas if you're around sirens and all these kinds of things, sound behaves in a different way and it stresses the body out. Okay, so negative sound EPCs are very important. Okay, another one is radiation. Radiation, whether it be ultraviolet, or whether it be radiation coming from a nuclear power plant, or strontium-90, which rains every day into our dairy products, radiation is another form of negative EPCs, okay? Has anybody got another one? So we've got stress, we've got noise, and we've got radiation. What would be another one? Yeah, light's a radiation. It's a form of radiation, yeah. Right. Computer terminals are also radiation. The computer terminal itself, per se, produces X-rays because the screen is on it, produces X-rays. Television also produces X-rays, okay? Another form of EPC, believe it or not, is negative, is the full moon. The full moon, you know, our bodies are 90% water. And, you know, the moon regulates the tides. As a matter of fact, the tides are never the same in any particular day and day given day. The tides are always different. So your body is different in its frequency. And what happens, how the science would measure the body and the effects of negative EPCs on the body is through the surface resistance of the skin. You can actually measure through galvanic response the skin, the surface density of your skin, the water pressures and the water tension, surface tension it's called. It's measured directly on water. So when the moon is full, the serotonin levels are higher in the pituitary gland. And when the serotonin levels are higher, you don't want them distributed through the brain because it causes depression and eventually death. Anytime serotonin is moving through the body, it's called the death hormone. Or it's a negative thing. So that's another form of negative EPC. And there's several others. But now let's talk about chemicals, for example. Pollution, you know, chemicals. Anytime you walk into a supermarket, there's probably not a food in the supermarket that doesn't have a negative effect to it. For example, you know, you talk about heart problems, right? Well, if you were to look at synthetic vitamins versus natural vitamins, if we were to take a Corellian camera, and let's just say this was a natural vitamin, this was a synthetic vitamin, right? And you put the two together on a Corellian, on a photographic plate, pretty soon the natural vitamin will start to give off its natural energy, its natural radiance, and the synthetic vitamin would absorb this instead. It would come to about a 50-50 balance. Now, doctors are quite aware of that, and through the truth in labeling, they've been trying for a long time to once again make vitamins a prescription item. And I spent 15 years with the National Health Federation legitimizing the people to have their right to choice, to make their own choices, and that nutrition was one of these areas that we kept the legislation alive. But if the doctors had their way, they would write a prescription for vitamins, and of course the dosages would be much smaller than what you're used to. And as a result, the synthetic vitamins would actually steal the natural vitamins that are put in the natural vitality that goes into your body. An example of that would be, as I started to say, the untruth that's presented to our society about heart disease, hardening of the arteries and cholesterol and plaque buildup, and also nutrition. Okay, first of all, in order to have your heart to beat, okay, you have to have a mineral. Does anybody know what mineral that the heart uses? Calcium, okay? Your body uses most of its calcium during the day, absorbing, you know, the calcium for the heart. And what happens is, when your body gets low in calcium, it steals it from the bones, and that's why you start to get cramps and things like that, okay? But in order to get calcium into your body, what nutrient do you need? Anybody have an idea? In order to get any calcium in your body, you need a vitamin. Well, you need vitamin D, okay? Normally, you would get vitamin D from the sun, but a lot of people that don't have the proper ability to focus and concentrate and absorb ultraviolet radiation don't get a very healthy amount of calcium from the sun. And so as a result, you need to take it as a supplement. So this is one of the reasons why we use a lot of natural vitamin Ds in our vitamin formulas. Okay, so now with those two things in mind, the fact that you need calcium, and also you need vitamin A in your immune system to help keep your immune system up. Vitamin A is what we call a first ray vitamin. And where we come to the categorization of what rays are in forming vitamins, we have to look at our body as being made up of oxygen, hydrogen, nitrogen, and carbon. Three gases and one solid. And all of our energy and vitality comes to us through the hydrogen atom. That's the job of the hydrogen atom. You know, we don't have nitrogen bombs. We don't have oxygen bombs. We have hydrogen bombs because that's where the energy comes from. If you were to look at a hydrogen atom, you would see that it is a proton and an electron. The electron goes around the proton. The energy is centered, however, in the proton. So the vitality in the hydrogen atom that comes into our nutritional aspect in our bodies comes from the proton itself, which is 1,645 times more dense or more mass than the electron. The hydrogen atom is, you know, the electron goes around. It gets its energy from somewhere. The atom itself doesn't contain any energy. It has to get its energy from some other place. And where it gets it from are what are known as seven levels of consciousness. Seven levels of consciousness permeate all of space and all of time and all of dimensions, starting with the first level of consciousness, going all the way to the seventh. The first level of consciousness would be considered what's called the Lagoic plane, the plane of the will. The second level of consciousness would be considered the attractive force of love. And third place would be considered the ethnic plane, or the female energy, the Holy Ghost, and so on down to the physical plane, where you go into the intuitive, the astral, and et cetera, down to the physical. Each one of these levels of consciousness is represented by a sound, A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, or it's represented by a color, red through violet. Each level of consciousness being those seven different byproducts feeding through the hydrogen atom works through one of seven different glands in the body, of which each one is attributed to a level of consciousness known as the endocrine glands. Within the endocrine glands are seven different sets of hormones, each one of those hormones based on a level of consciousness. Now, this hormone system and this leveling and this frequency of hydrogen shifts during the day. Okay, in the morning when you get up, for example, when the sun is coming up, the red aspect of the rainbow of these seven levels is shining its radiance down onto the proton level of the hydrogen atom, and the violet aspect of the rainbow spectrum is now shining itself over on the electron. So the first aspect, the first ray of the Lagoic energy, is shining itself in the morning. So you wake up from the astral plane, which is considered kind of a dark blue color, into a red color in your consciousness. This activates a hormone in the pituitary gland, which is called vasopressin, which is made up of lysine and arginine and vitamin B3. And this sets in motion a system to open your eyes, a desire system to get out of bed and start your daily functions. As the sun moves through the horizon, what happens is this consciousness shifts. So when the sun sets in the evening, the violet, which was now on the electron level, is now shining over here on the proton level, and the red color, which was the will, the motivation power to get up and going, it's now moved over to the electron level, and so your consciousness has changed 180 degrees due to these seven levels shifting their influence on the hydrogen atom. So your consciousness changes from sunrise to sunset. Even your acuity and the type of music that you want to listen to, based on chord structures, which are based on hydrogen atom frequencies, will change through the period of a day. Also, we have assigned vitamins to these different colors. For example, we have vitamin A, which is a red vitamin coming from a carrot. We have vitamin B, B complex, which is yellow, which works with the solar plexus, energies of compassion. We have vitamin C, which works with the throat, which is the female energy, which is green. And so each vitamin in the vitamin structure can be considered feeding the hydrogen atom on a certain frequency. So when you get into becoming your own medicine doctor, you can understand all the different vitamins regardless of how many types of vitamins are ever discovered. They all fall in one of seven categories. So it becomes very clear how to take care of yourself when your energy levels drop. And we, the Pleiadians, define vitamins, by the way. I asked Sannyasi, how would you define a vitamin? And she says, it's the first unit of biochemistry that contains light. So basically, vitamins are releasing different colors of light into your auric field, into your consciousness. So now, when you walk in a supermarket, the first thing that you see, you know, you usually see is a big dairy section, right? And you see the milk and you see the butter in there, right? And what does it say on there, on those? It says vitamin A added, vitamin D added, calcium, doesn't it? So what happens is these things in the dairy section have been synthetically treated. So what happens is when you take these synthetically treated dairy products and take them home and feed them to your kids and eat them yourself, what you're doing is you're destroying your immune system. You're causing hardening of the arteries. You're destroying your calcium stores in the body from the dairy products. Okay? You walk down in the produce section and you look at tomatoes. You look at celery. You look at strawberries. Each one of these is usually, not only has it received some form of acid or alkaline rain, but each one of these has received some nice chemicals. Okay? Now, how many of you in here know what bromine is? Okay? You ever heard of bromine? Okay? If you're not familiar with bromine, I was introduced to it in my high school chemistry class. And what it was is that there was a little vial here with bromine in it, this vial. And it was sealed because we were told that that was very poisonous. But then I also noticed that the vial was inside of another vial. In other words, this bromine container was inside of another container, which was also sealed. Because bromine is so active that even though it's sealed on a lid, it can be toxic to you, so it has to be in a second vial to contain all the fumes that come out of the first one. So guess what they treat strawberries with? Bromine. Okay? Yeah. Same thing with arsenic. Tomatoes get lots of arsenic in them. Okay? I can show you. I don't have my blackboard. I'll talk about this in the workshop. I'll show you how to negate the effects of these things. But this is just the beginning of your walk through the supermarket. So your best thing is either don't go shopping ever again, or do something to your body that allows you to negate the negative effects of these chemical EPCs. Okay, so now going back to the EPCs, which are positive and negative. Okay, negative sounds versus... Now let's talk about some positive EPCs. Okay, so we've talked about radiation, sound, stress as being negative. What are some good things in our environment, in our lives, that are positive to us? Anybody got some ideas what's good for us? Okay. Negative ionization is good. Okay, negative ions are very good. Negative ions come through the Lennard effect, which is created when the water strikes the beach in a wave form, making big splashes and sprays. That's the Lennard effect. It's negative ionization. The sound also is good. Harmonic sound, like the music of the spheres. Music that's written in good taste is good for us. Okay. Healthy air, which is hard to find, if you can find it, would be good for us. Healthy sounds. Planetary, there's many different planetary influences that affect our endocrine system via our chakra systems that are very good for us. Proper foods, proper nutrition, exercise, meditation, these are all positive EPCs. Okay. Now, I realize that the receiving antenna that digests at the end of the day, okay, is the DNA. The DNA at the end of 24 hours looks at itself and says, did I get negative EPCs or positive? And it adjusts itself accordingly. It starts to respiral or it starts to despiral, depending on what your influence is. In other words, your body starts to age towards disease or it starts to wind up and become more powerful and empowered with time. So now ask yourselves, in here, as a group sitting here, in a 24-hour day period, what do you get most of in your life? Do you get more positive EPCs, electrical precursing energies, or do you get more negative electrical precursing energies in your daily lives? And how many in here would say that that you have more negative than positive? Okay, these are the honest ones, right? And the rest of you guys aren't telling the truth, because in this environment, unless you're living as a saint in some remote area in the Himalayas, you're getting negative EPCs a lot more. So because of this, the Pleiadians began to give us technologies to release into this world about the difference between negative and positive electrical precursing devices. Okay, not only through our vitamins and mineral formulations, which are back there on the counter, but also devices like the nuclear receptor and the pyramid, which I'll demonstrate. This thing unwound from whatever it's tangled up. Okay, I'd like to have one person up here for muscle testing. Okay. Oh, my prop's ready here. What's your name?
John,
okay. Turn around and face the audience, okay? Put your arm straight out, this arm straight out. Make a fist. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to check the pectoralis clavicular muscle here. By pushing down, electricity is released here and gives him strength. And depending on how his energy is, we'll see how strong he is if he resists. Okay, you feel your strength now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now relax for a minute, John. Now, this is a form of poison. It's like in the air, except this is more. This will do more damage to you in a minute than the air will do in 10 years. It's a deadly glue, right? It's got a real, some toluenes and stuff. You'll smell it immediately. I mean, it's pretty strong. You don't want to breathe that too long, right? Okay, well, John's going to. We're going to get high now. Okay, now put your arm back up. Okay, take a breath of that. Now resist. Is that it? Okay, relax. Feel the difference in your strength?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I'll put a electrical precursing device on that produces so many positive EPCs that it will overcome the negative EPCs in that glue. Okay, now put your arm back out. Now breathe the glue. Resist. Resist. See the difference? A lot stronger. Feel that? Okay, now let me have that back now. Everybody likes to keep my receptor, but that's it. Thanks. Yeah. That little test demonstrates what happens to your body when you have an influence and where you understand how to work with devices that generate the positive or negative EPCs. It's called a nuclear response.